knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me yet again for the 4th week in a row is my cousin Cameron. Cameron, how are you doing for a 4th time in a row?
Hey, good. I'm doing good.
Oh, good.
Loving
it. I'm glad to hear that. It's, you know, these certain episodes that you were made to watch, because you definitely didn't do this voluntarily, have been up and down, topsy-turvy, hit and miss.
There have been a lot of...
emotions.
A lot of emotions. Yeah, you're right. A lot of ups and downs, a lot of shocking things that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
But they feel like big episodes. I feel like this was a time of the show where, like, it's from like a launching pad. Either it's gonna like go big or just fall flat.
Yeah, definitely.
They felt
scary times.
Yeah, they felt really. There was something heavier about them. Not in the sense that like I don't know. It was kind of a weird vibe. But yeah. Having said that, this episode is this like okay? I don't know. Is this like a classic episode?
I would say so. You know, more so than Jack Moves Out.
Well,
because
he didn't really move out.
There's nothing. Yeah, there's nothing going on. He just had a temper tantrum. But here we go. Season 3, episode 22, Triangle Troubles. It aired May 15th, 1979, directed by Dave Powers, written by Al Gordon and Jack Mendelsohn. Jack invites fellow cooking school classmate Debbie over, but hides the fact he lives with 2 women. Meanwhile, Debbie has a secret of her own she's keeping from Jack. What did you think of Triangle Troubles?
Whoa. This probably for me, hands down, was the most enjoyable episode of Three's Company. I think last week I mentioned that I've started consuming them in a different way, if not to see them with it through a different lens or for my own sanity. But I really enjoyed it. I liked this episode.
I did too.
I liked it.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was a great episode.
Because it's the moment when, because I wasn't really, because I don't really expect a lot from the show to begin with. So when we finally see what is her name again? Betty?
Debbie.
Debbie. When we get to Debbie's and we see that it's just like a mere bizarro universe, I'm like, yeah, I've been waiting for this. This is what I want. You know what I mean? This is great. And I was like, okay, they could screw this up and we could just end up with pies in everybody's face. But I think it really worked out.
Damn, we didn't.
And I don't know. I was sort of kind of at the edge of my seat. And I think the pacing was really great in this episode. Like, it was just like one thing after another. And then, like, just when you think that there's enough to deal with, Chrissy's dad is thrown in the mix and there's like a pastor. And it's just like, it was great.
And we love Reverend Snow.
Reverend Snow's like a cool reverend. He's like the cool pope.
Yeah, and that was cool. And I mean, he's been on the podcast. We got to give it up.
Yeah,
Peter Mark Richman, if anybody who listens to the podcast will remember, just a few episodes ago, it was a bonus episode. It was he was the first Three's Company cast member on this Regal Beagle podcast.
Definitely not the last.
No, not the last. I have a soft spot for Peter Mark Richman, Reverend Snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. Debbie was played by Barry Youngfellow, which is kind of an odd name, really, for anybody. Barry Youngfellow.
That was Deb.
That's her name.
Okay.
Barry.
Never would have guessed.
Yeah, like Barry, like the city, Barry.
Oh, I.E. Yeah.
I.E. Barry Youngfellow. And she was also Jan Hoffmeyer, and she did 9 seasons on It's a Living, which everybody forgets that show. It was about waitresses, starring Ann Gillian and another actress who I know by face, but I can't remember her name. Anyways.
Yeah.
I love that show when I was a kid. I love that show. So It's a Living. So Barry Youngfellow. That's why her face has always been so familiar to me and probably to a lot of other people who watched it. And then of course, we Peter Mark Richmond, Reverend Snow.
Yeah.
He, like, I mean, he's awesome in it. But there's two sets of guys in this show.
Yeah.
There's Debbie's roommates.
Yep.
And then there's Janet and Chrissy's dates.
Yeah.
Now, full disclosure here. In researching this episode,
okay,
IMDb got it all wrong. They got all the names. First of all, I went through the episode again. They don't call out any of the guys by name, but they're named on the cast. They, like, I guess on the script, they were given names.
Okay.
But I think they mixed up Robert McRae's character with Doug and Alan McRae's character, Phil. I think the McRae's, both spelt differently, they got it all mixed up.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyways, that's a side note. It doesn't really matter. But I don't know. Debbie's roommates, I don't know who it is. Is it Elliot, Phil, Doug, or Roger?
We didn't know.
Those were the four guys.
And she never.
Nobody was nobody called
addressed
by name.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she did. There was just so much to pack into the episode. We didn't have time to meet them.
Well, couldn't she have said, well, Roger, I mean, you've got to, you know, he's coming over soon.
I don't know if I would have liked the episode any more or less if I knew that her roommate's name was Roger, though.
Well, just for like an IMDb search, it okay. would have been nice.
Okay.
But yeah, so there were four other guys in this episode. Roger, Doug, Phil, and Elliot. And I don't know who's who.
Yeah.
But remember the guy with the shirt and then Jack rubs his hands?
Oh, yeah. I remember because he had the necktie on, nothing else.
No. Classic.
Just great.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's Doug or Elliot or
right.
Phil or Roger. I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
But great stuff. I mean, I loved it because all these guys went on to do stuff.
Really?
Yeah, but like, you know, bit parts.
Sure.
Stuff.
Okay.
So you still can't tell who's who.
But I also, too, like how it was like, the season finale, right?
Yes.
And
okay.
this girl, Debbie, had been referenced by Jack in the episodes leading up. There was always this one girl at cooking school that was like untouchable. And like, oh, he's always talking about her. The blonde, I think. I don't remember if Debbie ended up being blonde or not.
No, she was redhead.
Yeah. So like, in my mind, that's who it was. And I'm like, whoa, we've got some carryover here. This is like the sort of like the, you know, the big, what do you call it? Like footnote or like a big, what do you call it? The payoff at the end of the season. We meet Debbie and there's this like mirror, you like, I don't know, I've got a weird thing for like bizarro or like mirror universe worlds, whatever. So this was kind of like, it was just so packed full of stuff and it was great.
No, I loved it too. Like you're saying, I love the whole like mirror whole thing, the mirror living situations.
Yeah.
I love that. I found Jack's reaction to her living situation hilarious.
Perfect.
It was hilarious.
You can see it coming from a mile away.
Yeah.
But it was great.
But little things like, you know, when, you know, Reverend Snow isn't really part of the whole secret.
Yeah.
And then Jack's trying to keep it up. And then when he's close enough, he goes, come on, Reverend, keep it. Don't blow this for me. Don't. I thought stuff like that was awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, little things like that Jack did back then. It was amazing.
It was great. And then when he was when the jig is up at the end, right? And then Debbie wants to know the truth, and like Jack makes up one lie, and then a second is like, okay, finally he's gonna come clean. He's like, okay, this is the truth, and then there's another lie. He's like, yes, it's great.
Yeah, I loved it too. And I love how, yeah, you're right, Reverend Snow played along, he was cool about it, you know.
Yeah.
And then he'd always throw these like religious, you know, references, and he also even poked fun at religion himself.
Loved it.
So that was a cool little line that
when he's like, I believe him, but I also believe that the Red Sea was parted.
Yeah, basically saying, you know, I'm a gullible monkey, you know, but whatever it is,
right.
You know, take whatever you want out of
it. But surely that was like a bit, you know, of a risque thing that time, right?
I bet if social media existed back then,
right?
It would have been a firestorm.
Oh, man.
But, you know, it didn't. So people just moved on to the next episode. and I guess they used to write letters. That's what it was.
Wow,
you'd write letters into the station or whatever. But not enough to get it kicked off the air. The ratings were too high. I did find, as like you said, this was the last show of the season. The way it ended was quite rude. Jack turns on the vacuum cleaner while Reverend Snow is giving his sermon to them, or practicing his sermon. Who does that to anybody, let alone a reverend?
It's Jack, though. I feel like that'd fit his character.
Why couldn't he just go like, hey, reverend, you know, do you mind leaving us alone? Or go, Jack, Debbie, go. They're like, what? They start making out and talking and they're not aware that there's a reverend in the room? I mean, whether Reverend Snow is aware of them is beside the point.
Yeah.
But whatever. This is a small thing. I just didn't like that. No, I don't think that's Jack's character. He wouldn't be rude to Reverend Snow.
I don't know. I feel like the blow up before he quote unquote moved out, that was like, yeah, he had a bad day, but I've never seen him treat
Chrissy, but this is Reverend
Janet
Snow
like that.
But this is Chrissy's dad. You don't do that to Chrissy's, like, someone's dad.
Yeah, but I think also, but Reverend Snow had established in that episode how fond he was of Jack, right? Where he's like, Chrissy, this is the kind of guy you should be dating.
Yeah, but don't push it with the guy just because you're in.
I guess.
And plus, what does Debbie think of Jack?
He must have also been frustrated, too. Like, he spent this whole episode just trying to get some alone time with Debbie, going through hoops back and forth, like two phases of lasagna at both of their houses, and then finally they're alone, and then he's, you know, practicing his sermon. That's the last thing he wants, right?
Why can't they just go to their bedroom?
I guess.
Well, then that would mean sex, and then Reverend Snow would disapprove. Right? So they had to stay in the living room. Go to the Regal Beagle or go to a park.
Yeah.
Like.
This is where you don't like this.
I don't like it. And Debbie.
Still weighs on you.
No, it really pisses me off because Debbie, like, what would Debbie think, really? If it happened in real life and you do this to your roommate's dad, I would just be like, if I was Debbie, I'd be like,
yeah,
this guy's kind of a douche.
Yeah.
Like, why would you treat, like, your friend's dad like that? Sorry, but that's just me.
Wow. I mean, I didn't even think of it like that. I was just like, you know, feet up, watching, you know, make me laugh. And
same here. And then
But you're thinking about it a lot. I feel like you are me, like, back at season one, where, like, everything they do is, like, has to have, you know what I mean? Like, some, you know, some sort of, like, masked meaning, or, like, it's indicative of who they are as a person. And just enjoy the show, right? I don't know. Maybe it was just the vac. I don't know.
What a reversal of roles here at the end of season three.
Well, listen, okay, it was just this episode. You know, I've chalked it up to a lot of things. I mean, I also was surprised that I didn't really miss the Ropers.
Whoa!
Is that blasphemy to say? I didn't. I was fine not having them around because every time we'd see them, I'm like, okay, one of two things is going to happen here, and it's going to be the same, you know, as it was the last episode that I saw them.
This is great because we are going into season four. You don't miss the Ropers, which tells me you are ready to receive the new landlord.
This language is telling me you are in the camp of this new landlord.
Absolutely,
because you. You know, mentioned that it's alluded to in one of the previous podcasts that one of the first questions you ask any Three's Company's fan, are you Ropers?
Or this guy.
Right.
And if they say I'm this guy, then I go, all right.
Is there a gray area or it has to be one or the other?
No, I mean, if push comes to shove, I would say I have grown to really like Mr. Roper.
Okay.
I think he's really hilarious, especially doing this podcast and watching the whole series in order from beginning to end. I really like his character. Maybe it's because I'm older now and I've understood that I'm a lot like him.
Yeah.
More so than I thought.
Right.
But I really identify with the coming landlord.
So it sounds like the show gets better from this point on.
It's so good.
So this was like, I mean, 53 episodes, I think. Right? It's been a bit of that's a lot of episodes to sort of struggle through for things to finally get stomach stomachable. Is that a word?
I will just say this. I will leave you
palatable.
I will leave you with this and anyone who doesn't know who the coming landlord is, even the Roper's apartment is completely changed. It's a totally different set, and it is awesome.
Really?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's so good.
Okay.
That, I'll leave you with that. And I think I'll leave you with this thing too. I think his character single-handedly killed the fashion aesthetic of the era.
Oh.
Yeah. So we're ready. Am I getting you ready for this?
I don't know. I have no idea what to expect.
He killed a certain type of fashion, certain type of style, a certain type of behavior. Just a lot of things can be attributed to him, to his character, and what a mirror it was for men of that time.
Oh.
It's amazing. I love him. He's my hero.